Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, March 4th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed this morning. May corn futures up 1.75 at 4:26.5. May soybeans up 7 at 11:58.25. May Chicago wheat down 3.25 at 5:54.5. May Kansas City wheat down 1.75 at 5:62.75. May spring wheat up 1 at 6:44.25. Let's start off with these spring insurance guarantees.
So spring crop insurance prices are set. The December 24 corn contract averaged 466 per bushel in February, down sharply from last year's 591. The November 24 soybean contract averaged 1155 per bushel in February, down sharply from last year's 1376. This year's insurance levels are below the cost of production for many U.S. row crop operations, while last year's levels were mostly above the cost.
The year over year declines in the insurance levels are staggering. So corn's $1.25 per bushel lower than it was last year, a decline of 21%. Soybeans $2.21 per bushel lower than it was last year, a decline of 16%. On a percentage basis, probably also on a flat price basis, but on a percentage basis, those are the biggest year over year declines in at least 15 years. So it's not very often that you see a decline year over year in your spring insurance levels of this proportion. Also a big decline in spring wheat, went from 887 last year to 684. Now last year in 2023, a lot of farmers were able to trigger indemnity payments simply because of the price. So assume that you had, you know, an APH corn yield and you had 85% coverage. There were payments triggered just because of the price. And we started with a much higher guarantee. This year, to do that same thing, let's assume you've got, you know, 85% coverage and you end up with an APH yield. 85% of 466 is 396. In soybeans, it's 982. So, I mean, you never want to trigger a payment just because of the price decline. But in this year, it would be especially bad and much, much worse than last year. So this isn't good. That doesn't mean you should skimp on insurance coverage, but it's not shocking and it's definitely not helpful, the big declines.
On Friday, the Biden administration announced its updated climate modeling for SAF feedstocks would be delayed. In December, the administration said it would allow the ethanol industry to use its preferred model, the GREET model, but only after revisions were made. The final revisions are anticipated to stand in the way of ethanol automatically qualifying for SAF tax credits. To qualify, the industry will likely have to adopt alternate methods like solar energy and sustainable farming. The main point of contention with the revisions is the method for verifying that farmers are implementing climate-smart agriculture practices. The revised model is expected to be finalized in the coming weeks.
Surprise, surprise, the government is delayed with something. There's nothing surprising here as of right now. This is a tweet from Jarrett Renshaw, who wrote the piece for Reuters, and Reuters has by far the best information on this. They're on top of it. You'll see stuff from Bloomberg here and there and from the Journal and whoever, but Reuters is very much on top of this. He said this on Twitter, or X now. Ethanol is not expected to automatically qualify as a feedstock for SAF under the revised GREET model under consideration, forcing producers to cobble together practices like solar power and sustainable farming techniques to push them above the threshold, sources tell me. None of that is surprising. We have known that you guys as farmers are going to need to take steps so that your corn qualifies under this, because when the ethanol plant buys your corn, a lot of their carbon score is going to come from the corn piece of this. Pete Meyer was with us in our premium video on Thursday last week, and we discussed exactly that. What is it that you as a corn grower need to be doing to prepare for this? Because if you're not preparing, you're going to be left behind. This is one piece of what Pete called the technology treadmill. Like, you've got to be ahead of these things before they start, because your neighbor's going to be. So if you're not implementing your best practices when it comes to preparing for this SAF transition, you've got to be what we kind of call like a preferred customer for your ethanol plant. This doesn't apply to everybody, but if you're growing corn and you're selling to an ethanol plant, there's a laundry list of things that you need to be doing right now to prepare for this transition. If you guys want to see that video and you want to see all our premium stuff, Go to standardgrain.com this morning. You can sign up. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel it at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Sign up this morning and I will forward you a copy of this morning's email, which includes that video with Pete. I think that's must watch stuff.
Fund traders continue to hold a historically large net short position across the corn and soybean complex. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. During the week ending February 27th, the funds were net buyers of 41,000 contracts of corn. The net short of 288,000 contracts, however, is one of the largest on record. Funds were net sellers of 24,000 contracts of soybeans. The net short of 151,000 contracts is the largest since mid-2019, and funds were net buyers of 15,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
If you're a corn grower and you've got bushels to sell, whether it's old crop, new crop, whatever, this is one of the most disappointing CFTC reports that I've ever seen. So the funds covered 41,000 contracts worth of net shorts in the corn market in the period. The reporting period was February, I think it was the 21st through the 27th. During that same period, while the funds were covering 41,000 contracts, May corn futures lost 9 cents per bushel. So you saw a short covering event to some extent, and the corn market lost traction. It lost cents per bushel. The reason behind that is twofold. There's two things. The first one that came into my head is, well, that's when everybody was pricing March basis contracts, right? Was during that period. We talked about that every day for a week when it was going on. So that really added a lot of additional hedge pressure to the market. And then I think the bigger thing, it just speaks to how much cash corn is out there and how extremely long the farmer is on the cash side. That being said, if they were to cover another 40,000 here, say this week, next week, when you don't have this basis contract thing going on, I think you probably would see some upward movement in the corn market. When you look at combined positions, corn, soybeans, wheat, the managed money net, it's close to a record short. It ticked up just a little bit. It's hard to see on this chart if you guys are watching, but it did tick up a little bit. There was a little bit of short covering here. This number was past 500,000 as of last week. And the soybean one is especially ugly. Funds were very close to a record short in the soybean market as of last Tuesday. They've probably covered a little bit of this net short since then. But I guess the point here, especially as it relates to corn, is that short covering does not have to equal a lot of price strength or any price strength at all, which is very disappointing.
Opposing revisions were made to the Brazilian soybean forecast last week. On Friday, StoneX raised its forecast for Brazil's soybean crop to 151.5 million tons, up from its previous estimate of 150.35 million tons. The revision was attributed to the majority of soybean producing areas receiving rain in recent weeks. Meanwhile, Ag Resource significantly reduced its estimate for the soybean crop to 143.92 million tons, down almost 4% from its previous projection. The reduction was due to falling yields. Both groups reduced their outlook for Brazil's corn crop. StoneX sees the crop at 124.4 million tons, and Ag Resource is estimating the crop at 114.9 million tons.
The StoneX number is quite a bit more in line with general consensus, somewhere in, say, the upper 140s, 150 to low 150s. The Ag Resource number is an outlier at 144. The corn numbers are up in the air. I mean, they're still in the process of planting or finishing planting when it comes to that second corn crop, so nobody really has a clue. There's a lot of big variances. I mean, USDA versus CONAB among the private groups. They'll come together as the growing season progresses, but we're just not that far along yet.
OPEC Plus extended its voluntary oil supply cuts of about 2 million barrels a day until the end of June. The cuts are meant to support prices and prevent a global surplus. The extended cuts are in addition to the supply reductions of more than 5 million barrels per day that were implemented in late 2022. The extension was expected because of a seasonal decline in global fuel demand, as well as increased production from some of OPEC Plus's rivals, particularly U.S. shale drillers. Abundant supplies have kept international oil prices near $80 a barrel this year.
Yeah, so the market's perked up a little bit. You look at this crude chart, and I guess for the majority of this calendar year through the first 2 months of the year, we've been mostly sideways to slightly higher. We've kind of found some footing here, I guess. Crude can sometimes be something that can drive, you know, corn prices because of the ethanol implication, or even soybean prices because of the biofuel implication. But not this time around. It's just not doing enough. If you got crude back to 100, would that be helpful? Yeah, maybe it would. I don't know if we're going there anytime soon, though. OPEC is doing its best. I don't know if they'll succeed. What did cattle do on Friday?
Cattle futures rebounded. Live cattle futures closed an average of $1.90 higher. Week over week as of Friday, live cattle were narrowly mixed. Feeder cattle futures closed an average of $3.35 higher on Friday. On the week, they were an average of $1.40 lower. Cash cattle trade was higher last week. In the north, we saw cattle trade between $1.83 to $1.8350, which was steady to 50 cents higher. In the south, cattle also traded at $1.83, which was steady to $1 higher. Box beef was higher for the week last week. Choice closed Friday at $305.28. That was up $4.67 for the week. And Select closed Friday at $295.74. That was up $9.43 for the week.
Outside markets to start the week, guys. U.S. dollar is about flat. Stocks are just fractionally lower. Bonds off a little bit. Crude oil is down 30 cents. And the May WTI at $78.79. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.